Okay, let's dive into this. Picture this. You're holding a device right now. It's sleek. It's probably made of aerospace-grade titanium. It has a camera that can, I don't know, see into the future. And it likely costs more than the first car I ever owned. We are talking about a $1,500 psychological barrier. But here's the kicker. That same piece of high-end luxury engineering, if you have one specific app configured the wrong way, it just acts like a digital beacon, broadcasting your physical location to within 2 meters to anyone who knows how to listen.
It's a jarring contrast, isn't it? You sort of associate expensive with secure, or at least, foolproof. But the tech world just doesn't always work that way. And today we are digging into a really dense stack of intelligence. It's called the Inspector Report: Tech Leaks and Digital Frontiers, dated January 25, 2026.
And this isn't just a news roundup. The source is known as Inspector Gemini, so it's more like an intelligence drop.
It is.
And the mission for our deep dive today is pretty specific. We're not just here to geek out over specs. We have to navigate this kind of duality in the report. On one hand, you have the shiny front end, new PlayStation leaks, Samsung phones, Apple wearables,
All the fun
all the
stuff.
fun stuff. And then you have the back end, the messy, dangerous security flaws, and the supply chain realities that are driving these prices up.
Exactly. We need to equip you, the listener, for the actual week ahead. And that includes a critical security patch you need to apply, like before this deep dive even ends, plus a strategy for the gaming showcases and a hard look at whether we should really be spending $1,500 on a phone.
It really is actionable intelligence today. So let's start with the lighter side of leaks before we get to the scary security stuff. Let's talk about how the inspector figured out what Sony's up to. I love this part because it feels like modern digital detective work. Sony didn't put out a press release. They didn't tweet anything. So how do we know?
We know because, well, in the modern digital age, you can't really hide the infrastructure. The report details how data miners were watching the PlayStation Network, specifically the PSN backend,
Right.
and they flagged a very specific anomaly.
Right.
It's not about what Sony said, it's about what their servers are doing.
Okay, so the report mentions that the pre-order pages for two massive titles, we're talking Death Stranding 2, On the Beach and the Silent Hill 2 remake, they suddenly shifted status. They went from their normal placeholder code to something labeled Active Hidden. Now, to me, that sounds like a glitch, or maybe just IT maintenance, but you're saying this is a smoking gun.
Oh, it is absolutely a smoking gun. Think of it like a theater production. Before the curtain goes up, the stage crew has to unlock the props, turn on the amps, place the marks on the floor. In a digital store, Active Hidden is that pre-show state.
Okay.
It means the assets are loaded, the new trailers, the buy now buttons, the official release dates. They're all there, ready to go, just invisible to the public. And historically, when Sony flips this switch, the live broadcast follows within 48 to 72 hours.
Which gives us a surprisingly precise timeline for the week. If that back-end flip happened over the weekend, the inspector predicts we're looking at an official announcement on Monday, probably 9:00 a.m. Pacific, and then the actual state of play broadcast on Wednesday.
It's a very calculated dance, and the content is heavy. Death Stranding 2 is the big one here. Hideo Kojima has been so vague about what on the beach even means for gameplay.
Right.
The source specifies this is a launch trailer, which, I mean, that usually means we're finally going to see the core mechanics.
And Silent Hill 2 gets a release date. But I want to pause on the method here because it's fascinating. Despite NDAs, locked doors, secret studios, the infrastructure itself just gives the game away.
It does.
It creates this hype cycle that Sony doesn't even have to pay for.
It is free marketing, sure, but it's also a total loss of control. I mean, companies spend millions crafting a perfect reveal, but the database architecture leaks the surprise because ultimately the store page has to be ready to sell the product the second the video ends.
The plumbing always reveals the plan.
Yep.
Speaking of plumbing and marketing, let's pivot to the PC side. If you're a gamer, you know Thursday is the day the Epic Game Store gives away free stuff.
Right.
Usually it's an indie title or something that's been out for a decade, but Inspector Gemini, citing a data miner named Bill Bilkun, says this week is different.
It is significantly different. Bill Bilkun has a near perfect track record for these things, and they are flagging Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, I have to play devil's advocate here. I can hear people groaning.
Yeah.
When you hear Marvel game now, you kind of instinctively recoil because of the Avengers disaster from a few years ago.
Yeah.
Is this just another one of those live service cash grabs that failed, so now they're giving it away?
And that is the crucial distinction the report makes. It's why this is such a good get. You have to separate the IP from the genre. Yeah. The Avengers game was a live service model, a grind.
Right, loot boxes and all that.
Guardians of the Galaxy is the polar opposite. It's a single-player, narrative-driven experience. No microtransactions, no grinding, just a story.
The report actually calls it arguably one of the best single-player narrative games of the last 5 years.
Oh,
that is remarkably high praise for a game that I feel like a lot of people just skipped.
They skipped it specifically because the marketing for Avengers poisoned the well. Consumers saw Marvel Team Game and just assumed it was more of the same junk. But the writing here is sharp, the character dynamics are genuinely funny.
And the soundtrack.
And the soundtrack is, as the report puts it, pure 80s gold.
So the insight here is, don't let the brand fatigue stop you. It's free, it looks great graphically, and it respects your time.
Precisely. It's a AAA experience for $0. It is easily the best value proposition in this whole report.
Which brings us, unfortunately, to the worst value proposition in the report. Let's talk about the Samsung Galaxy S26 Ultra. The leak comes from Ice Universe, another heavyweight. And honestly, my wallet hurt just reading this section.
It's a significant jump. We are looking at a starting price of $1,499. That's a $100 hike over the S25 Ultra, which is already considered a very expensive device.
$1,500 for a phone. I mean, let's contextualize that. That's a decent used car or a high-end gaming laptop.
A round-trip ticket to Tokyo.
Yeah. Why? What is the justification for this?
The report breaks it down into three main cost drivers, and it's a good lesson in how global economics hits your pocket. First is the silicon, the Snapdragon 8 Gen 5 for Galaxy. These mobile chips are becoming as complex to make as desktop CPUs. The yields are lower, R&D is higher, and that cost gets passed directly to you.
And I'm guessing the materials too. Apple moved to titanium, now Samsung is doubling down.
Right. Samsung is citing a new titanium grade 5 chassis. Now, grade 5 isn't just a buzzword, it's an alloy. It's significantly stronger and more heat resistant than pure titanium. The report claims it's allegedly more durable than the iPhone's version.
And the third factor has to be the camera.
A massive new 1-inch 200MP main sensor. A 1-inch sensor in a phone is physically enormous. It needs expensive glass, complex stacking.
Okay, so the tech is there. I get it. But the report brings up this idea of a psychological barrier. At what point does the price just detach from the utility?
That is the big question the inspector poses. They ask explicitly, will this push loyal fans to the Pixel 11 Pro? If Google can offer a similar AI experience and a great camera for, what, $1,100? Is the titanium and a slightly faster chip really worth a $400 premium?
Feels like Samsung is betting on that ecosystem lock-in. You have the buds, you have the watch.
You won't leave.
But $400 is a lot of loyalty. That's a PS5 digital edition right there.
It is. And speaking of ecosystems, Apple is apparently trying to slide into a completely new market to grab people who aren't wearing their watches. Let's talk about the Apple Ring.
This was a surprise in the report. Bloomberg is reporting its move to PVT. For those who don't speak manufacturing, what does PVT mean?
PVT stands for production validation testing. In the hardware lifecycle, you have EVT, then DVT, and then the PVT. PVT is the final step before mass production. They aren't testing if it works. They are testing if the factory can build a million of them without errors.
So it's real. And it's coming soon.
It's imminent.
Now, the Samsung Galaxy's Ring exists. But the source says Apple has a different angle here. They aren't trying to replace the Apple Watch.
No, they're trying to fill a gap, the sleep gap, you could call it. It's a brilliant strategic insight. There is a huge chunk of the population, and I include myself in this, who want health data, like sleep cycles, but who absolutely hate wearing a bulky computer on their wrist to bed.
I'm the same. I charge my watch at night specifically because I don't want the screen flashing or the bulk.
Exactly. So Apple is positioning this as the night shift device. And the rumor is that it will be cheaper than the Apple Watch SE.
That's interesting. Usually Apple doesn't do cheap, but if they price it aggressively, they aren't just competing with Samsung. They're going for Aura's throat.
The source calls it the start of the smart ring wars. If Apple can offer seamless integration, watch by day, ring by night, health app stitches it all together, that is a very compelling product.
It closes the loop on 24-hour tracking.
Mm-hmm.
It really highlights how they're looking for every inch of real estate on our bodies. Finger, wrist, ears, now eyes with the Vision Pro. Okay, let's take a quick break from the hardware specs and touch on something for the culture. Fallout Season 2, we got a confirmation.
We did. Walton Goggins, the ghoul himself, posted a photo from the Nevada desert.
Which confirms what the Season 1 finale teased.
Yeah.
We are heading to New Vegas. Now, for anyone who just watched the show and didn't play the games, why is New Vegas such a holy grail for Fallout fans?
Fallout. New Vegas is, well, it's widely considered to have the best writing in the entire franchise's history. It's this mix of post-apocalyptic vibe with the glitz of the Vegas Strip, old-school mobster politics, a lot of cowboy noir. It's complex and weird, and fans are just obsessed with it.
But, as always, the Inspector is here to crush our dreams on the timeline. I saw the date late 2027, and I audibly groaned. That's nearly 2 years away.
It feels like a lifetime, but the report explains the bottleneck. It's not the actors or the script. It's the VFX pipeline. You know, it's not just about filming actors in a desert. The source specifically mentions assets like Deathclaws and Protectrons.
A Deathclaw is a giant irradiated lizard monster, for context.
Right. And to make that look real on a 4K TV requires immense rendering time. You have to simulate the scale, the lighting on the scales, the weight. If they rush it, it looks like a cheap set EFI channel movie.
Right.
If they want it to look like Season 1, they need time.
So the takeaway is, let them cook. We want the Deathclaws to be terrifying, not funny.
Okay.
We had our fun with games and TV. We need to shift gears. The source material has a section labeled Immediate Action Required, and reading it, I realized this is not hyperbole. This is about Telegram.
This is serious. If you use Telegram, you need to listen very closely. White Hat researchers found a bug in the People Nearby feature that is, frankly, terrifying.
Now, usually when I hear about a buggy feature, my instinct is just, okay, I won't use that feature. I'll toggle it off in the app settings. Problem solved.
And that is exactly the trap. The report highlights that the off toggle inside the Telegram app is, in this specific case, a placebo.
A placebo.
It's a UI switch. It looks like it's off, but it doesn't necessarily stop the underlying API calls if the permissions are wrong.
That's wild. So I can tell the app stop looking for people, but if my phone's operating system has given it permission, hackers can still bypass my choice.
Yes. If your iOS or Android settings have granted Telegram precise location permission, hackers can exploit this bug to triangulate your position. And we aren't talking, oh, he's in this neighborhood. The source says they can pinpoint you to within 2 meters.
2 meters. That's not just my house.
Oh.
That's sitting on the couch in the living room. That is a physical safety risk.
Absolutely. It moves from digital privacy to physical security.
Okay, so let's walk the listener through the fix. The report is very specific. You cannot fix this inside the Telegram app.
Correct. You have to go to the OS level. So take out your phone, go to your main settings, the gear icon for your phone, not the app.
Okay.
Go to apps, find Telegram.
Then tap on permissions.
And look for location. The source is emphatic here. You must set it to never or don't allow.
What about the while using the app settings? Is that safe?
The report suggests just minimizing all risk for now. Until this exploit is officially patched, never is the only setting that guarantees the OS cuts that data feed entirely.
If the OS isn't sending the coordinates, the app can't leak them.
Exactly. And the inspector notes we are waiting for Pavel Durov, the founder, to push a patch. Until you see that update come through and it's verified, do not trust the in-app toggle.
Consider that a public service announcement. Go check your settings right now.
Please.
It's a good reminder that our apps are constantly chatting, even when we tell them to shut up. Now, to close things out, the report shifts gears completely. It goes from high-stakes security to a very personal, kind of relatable human dilemma. The inspector mentions they're moving to Dubai, and they call this Migration Month.
Right. We've all been there. The boxes are everywhere. The house is a mess. And crucially, the internet isn't set up yet. You're offline.
So the source poses a question called the gamer's dilemma. You can only keep one game installed for that first chaotic month. No downloading, no multiplayer, just you and the machine.
It's a fascinating psychological test. The report offers three paths. The endless RPG like Elden Ring or Witcher 3, the comfort game like Minecraft or Stardew Valley, or the competitive game FC26 where you just pray for a hotspot.
I struggle with this. My instinct says Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
I'm stressed. There are boxes everywhere. I just want to farm turnips and listen to nice music. I want to zone out.
Sure.
But the inspector chose differently.
They chose Red Dead Redemption 2.
Which is a massive, heavy game.
The reasoning is actually really profound. The source says, there is something about riding a horse through the quiet wilderness that calms the stress of moving. It's not about zoning out like in a comfort game. It's about immersion.
That's a key distinction. Moving is frantic. It's high tempo, logistics, flights, deadlines. Red Dead is deliberate. It's slow.
Exactly.
You have to clean your gun. You have to feed your horse. You have to make coffee by a fire.
It forces you to slow your brain down to the speed of 1899. A game like Stardew might distract you, but a simulation like Red Dead replaces your chaotic reality with a slower, structured one.
It's digital meditation. I love that. It really shows how our digital lives can support our physical ones. It's not just entertainment. It's a tool for emotional regulation.
And it raises a bigger question about our devices, doesn't it?
It does. We've covered a lot today. Leaks, prices, security flaws. But let's wrap up with the immediate to-dos.
First, keep your eyes peeled Monday morning for that Sony announcement. If the back-end data holds up, we're getting Death Stranding 2 news and probably a Silent Hill date.
Second, on Thursday, log into Epic and grab Guardians of the Galaxy. It's free. Even if you don't play it now, add it to your library. It's a banger.
Third, and most importantly, change your Telegram location permissions to never. Do not leave that door open.
And if you have $1,500 burning a hole in your pocket for a Samsung phone, maybe wait. See if the Pixel creates a better value prop or if the Apple Ring fits your lifestyle better.
Before we go, though, that migration challenge from the inspector really stuck with me. It's worth asking yourself. If you stripped away your internet connection today, if the Wi-Fi went dark and the 5G towers shut off, does your device actually contain anything of value?
That is a haunting thought. Is your phone a supercomputer or is it just a portal to things you can no longer reach?
Right.
If the cloud disappears, are you holding a tool or just a generic brick of glass and expensive titanium?
It's worth checking your local storage to find out. Maybe download a book or an offline game, just in case.
Absolutely. Something to mull over while you update your privacy settings. As the inspector says in the sign-off, sleep well, Tekken Army.
We'll see you in the next deep dive.